Our reading this morning is from Micah chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. And you will find this on page 776 of the Pew Bibles. Is this working? Yeah, is it okay? This is God's word for us. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, you peoples, all of you. Pay attention, O earth, and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap in the open country, a place for planting vineyards, and I will pour down her stones into the valley and uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, all her wages shall be burned with fire, and all her idols I will lay waste. For from the fee of a prostitute she gathered them, and to the fee of a prostitute they shall return. For this I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will make lamentation like the jackals and mourning like the ostriches. For her wound is incurable, and it has come to Judah. It has reached the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all. In Beth-le-Aphrah, roll yourselves in the dust. Pass on your way, inhabitants of Shaphir, in nakedness and shame. The inhabitants of Zaanan, do not come out. The lamentation of Beth-Ezel shall take away from you its standing place. For the inhabitants of Maroth wait anxiously for good, because disaster has come down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the steeds to the chariots, inhabitants of Lachish. It was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion, for in you were found the transgressions of Israel. Therefore, you shall give parting gifts to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Aksib shall be a deceitful thing to the kings of Israel. I will again bring a conqueror to you, inhabitants of Maresha. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair, for the children of your delight. Make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they shall go from you into exile. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Can we click on the next one, Jim? Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give me the next one. Kind of a bit like robins and chaffinches. Chaffinches are garden birds, and sometimes they show up, but they're maybe not going to make your list of your top five best known or most popular. The book of Micah is part of the Bible, but I suspect it's not terribly well known, and if you were to list your top five parts of the Bible, Micah probably wouldn't make the top five. Indeed, perhaps the only bit that's really well known in Micah is that part at the start of chapter 5 But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are least among the tribes of Judah, which we hear every Christmas time. We know that bit, and now we know it comes from Micah. So why are we going to read through this short book over the next 7 weeks? Well, it is in the Bible. All the words of the Bible have been given to us by God to teach, reprove, correct, and train us in godly living. All of the words of the Bible, not just the ones we know well or the ones we like, but all of the words. If there's a part of the Bible we haven't read, or we haven't read for a while, or we don't know very well, then that's God's word waiting for us to read it and get to know it just a bit better. Also, Micah was a man who lived in a time of political turmoil. No, Brexit hadn't been going since the time of Micah. It just feels like it. But it's good to remember that the political turmoil we face in our circumstances and in our situations is not unique. That over the centuries, almost every nation, at one time or another, has faced political turmoil. Uncertainty and trouble comes upon people just like us. And Micah was the prophet of the Lord for a time like that. All we know of Micah is that he was associated with a town called Moresheth. Some people think he was born there, but then he moved from there, maybe to Jerusalem or somewhere else. Some people think he spent his whole life there, but nobody really knows. The town of Moresheth was in southwest Judah, so south of Jerusalem, right close to the Philistine territory, what would now be the Gaza Strip. A troubled region, a border region. Verse 1 tells us that Micah received the word of the Lord during the reign of three kings of Judah. Now, I've got a wee slide here. There we go. Now, this bit still works, I think. There's the three kings there, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And there's the dates, just about 55 years. So what this slide's also showing us is that Micah was round about the same time as Isaiah. And maybe we know of Isaiah or we've read his book a bit more. Isaiah was maybe a bit longer than Micah. And just before the two of them, the prophets Amos and Hosea, had been doing their prophetic work. We don't know a terrible lot about any of these prophets. We know slightly less about these three kings. But we do know that that's the period, that's when these kings were reigning. And in between these dates, that's when Micah heard the word of the Lord and spoke it to the people. The key political factor in the time of Micah was the Assyrian Empire. And the fact that the Assyrian Empire was still young and vigorous and was expanding. It was growing. Having annexed the northern Israel and the capital city of Samaria during the 740s and the 730s, the Assyrians finally got fed up with Samaria rebelling against their overlordship. And so in 722, the Assyrians turned up and completely destroyed Samaria. And they removed all the Israelites from that part of the land. This was a crushing blow to the people of Israel. There had been 12 tribes of Israel, and then in the year 722, 10 of them were taken away and dispersed among the various territories which the Assyrians had already conquered. Judah and some neighbors didn't learn the lesson. They tried to align themselves with Egypt, thinking that Egypt would be strong enough to resist Assyria. But that didn't happen. The Battle of Carchemish and Assyria, or Babylon, destroyed Egypt. Round about 701, down here, Assyria invades Judah, surrounds Jerusalem, besieges the city. There's famine and destruction in the land until the Lord saves the city. The threat of violent conquest and deportation is the political trouble which faces Micah and the folks in Judah. It almost makes Brexit seem easy. One other thing about Micah, his name. Let me have the next slide, Jim. Micah's got a name that means something. So what I've put here is Micah at the top and then the Hebrew characters for the name Micah. And it can be read in Hebrew as three separate words, because in Hebrew they do this. They add bits together to make composite words. So me, who, ki, like, ya, Lord. Who is like the Lord? I was tempted to ask Rosemary to introduce our reading, not the book of Micah chapter 1, but the book of Who is Like the Lord, chapter 1. There's something in Micah's name for us. What do the Lord's people need in times of trouble? When there's political turmoil all around and huge uncertainty, what do they need? To know God. To know who the Lord is. If we know our God and what he is like, what he can do and what he will do, then I think we're better able to hold on during times of distress and uncertainty. In this first chapter of the book of Micah, there are at least 18 direct references to the Lord. 18 in just 16 verses. The book is about God, about our Father, our Savior, and our King. It's about God, not in a time of quiet and peace, but in a time of distress and turmoil. This is good news for us. Our God is not waiting for us to sort out our life, to get everything in good order, to be at peace and in stability before he speaks to us. By no means. Into the distress, into the confusion, into the uncertainty, God's word comes, declaring who he is. Bigger, more powerful, greater than any turmoil. This is the word we need to hear today in our situation, in our country, in our time of trouble. In any situation you find yourself facing, God speaks his word about himself into it for your comfort and your help. Hear the word of the Lord, not only some of the time, but all of the time. Let's have the next slide, Jim. The book of Micah contains words which are associated with Micah. He spoke words. He probably didn't write them down. The book doesn't claim that Micah wrote them down. In one sense, they are his words. Micah's genius was fully exercised in crafting the words which he spoke, in creating metaphors and images and phrases which catch the attention. But in another sense, these words are not Micah's words. They are all the words of the Lord. The mystery of prophetic ministry is that God speaks to his prophet, and the prophet then speaks to the people, but what he speaks are the words of God. The creative genius of Micah is different from that of Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Jonah or any of the other prophets, as it should be. Our creative God is a God of wonderful variety. He does not have only one prophet, but many. He will not speak his word in only one way, but in many ways, each declaring the word of the Lord in their own accent, in their own way. When he speaks through the prophets, only occasionally, just a small amount of the time, does the Lord speak about the future. Sometimes folk think that's the main thing that the prophets say. Oh, it's a prophet, it's going to be about the future. But actually, that's a very small element of what the prophets in the Bible say. By far and away, the biggest part of what the prophets in the Bible say is, who is the Lord? What is he like? What is he doing right now? One of the clearest words that we're going to hear from the Lord in these coming weeks in the book of Micah is his concern for the poor and needy. His commitment to act on behalf of the victims of injustice. And his call upon those who hear to stand against injustice, to stand on behalf of the poor and needy. God says, most of all, this is who I am. These are the people I love. I want you to love them and care for them too. And I want you to stop living in ways that promote injustice and cause poverty and need. God is concerned to speak about the burden of his heart much more than he is about the future. Beginning in Genesis 1, the Bible presents the Lord to us as a speaking God. In verses 6, 7, and 8 in our reading, seven times in just three verses, I am. I, the Lord, is speaking these words. Our God is a speaking God. Maybe you've heard it said that God created humans with two ears so that we would do twice as much listening. As disciples of Jesus, we need to learn how to listen to God when he speaks, because our God is a speaking God. He is speaking to you today. Are you listening? Are you hearing God? God continues to speak of himself as the Holy One who comes to his people, the caring one who takes the side of the oppressed and the needy, the one who stands on behalf of the victims of injustice. Are you listening? Do you hear God calling you to join him on the side of the poor and the needy, on behalf of the victims of injustice? We don't get to choose when God will speak to us or what God will say to us. God is speaking to us all the time. And what God is saying to us is, follow me. Obey my word. Change your life. Live as my children. We get to hear God's word, to respond with faith and obedience to God's word. Are you listening to our speaking God? You might be asking, but how can I hear God speaking? Well, you've made a good start. You're here this morning. God's word has been read to us. You've heard it. This is God's word that Rosemary read for us earlier. Our small groups are starting up again for the next session. There's one on Monday nights, one on Tuesday nights, one on Thursday morning, one on Friday nights. Go along to our small groups. There you will hear God's word read and have a chance to listen, to hear what God would say. There's our book group. There's the grace course at the end of the month. There are so many opportunities to hear God's word in our land, in our city, in our congregation. Are you listening? Are you making the best of these chances to hear God's word? He is surely speaking to you. One more, Jim. I wonder if any of you have seen this. It's in Coventry Cathedral. It's a piece of artwork that was made based on some verses from the prophet Amos, where Amos speaks of the Lord holding a plumb line over the city to measure the city, to judge it. Well, here in Micah, God's doing the same sort of thing. He's holding his plumb line against two cities. The word of the Lord which came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. The Lord speaks to two cities, Samaria and Jerusalem. The people of Israel had been one nation under David and Solomon. However, on Solomon's death, 10 of the tribes had, if I may use the phrase, their own indie ref. And they set up on their own. They became the northern kingdom of Israel with their capital in Samaria. The two remaining tribes of Judah and Benjamin, they became the kingdom of Judah with their capital in Jerusalem. Two cities which should have been united, two nations which should have been one family, one people of God, torn apart and disunited. But God still speaks to both of them as one people of God. God still cares enough to address them both. He speaks to all his people, speaking his concern for his people, because they're in danger. They're on the wrong road, and the end of the road is disaster. He speaks because he loves his people. Because he loves them, the Lord speaks to warn, to correct error. And I'm sure we've all done this. Every parent or grandparent or anyone who has responsibility for a child at any time. Don't play with the fire, you'll get burned. Don't run into the road, you'll get knocked down. Don't poke at the electric plug, you'll get electrocuted. Nobody says these things because they hate children. Quite the opposite. Because we love them. We warn them and seek to protect them. This is why the Lord is speaking to these two cities. This is why he speaks to us, because he loves us. He wants what's best for us. Then in verse 7, the Lord speaks to correct two errors in the life of his people. He speaks of images of worship and the wages of the harlot. The images of worship represent anything, anyone, which you put in the place of God. Might be your family, your career, your savings, your possessions, your hobbies, your nation, even your church can become an image which you worship more than God. God is to be the chief desire, the first love of his people, but we exchange that first love of God for the service of dumb images. The wages of the harlot represent a rejection of love, exchanging the love of wife or husband for the bought services of a harlot. God, you see, is passionate about you. He loves you overwhelmingly with a great desire and abounding passion. This from the beginning to the end is the good news of the gospel. God loves you. And yet, we reject his love. We acknowledge he loves us, but we go and offer our love for sale, to be bought and sold worthlessly. We reject his love, preferring the passing away affections of the world. We rebel against his true love for us, struggling to break free from his steadfast love. We exchange the pure, unending love of God for what can be bought and sold. Does that sound like a good thing? When God calls you away from images and from false loves, it is not because he hates you, but because he loves you and knows what's best for you. Through the prophet Micah, the speaking Lord will speak to make himself known as the one God who loves you. It is to his own people he speaks. Just a few verses from the book of Hebrews to confirm this. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Isn't that the truth? Your parents disciplined you. They didn't discipline the neighbor's children. They disciplined you because you were their children. And they loved you. And they wanted you to grow up secure and safe and knowing their love. God disciplines his children, not strangers. God disciplines his own family, not those who don't know him. If you are disciplined by God, it's because he loves you and longs for what's best for you. Micah, who is like the Lord? No one is like the Lord. The Lord alone speaks words of correction and love through the prophets. He alone speaks from the eternity of his heaven into the day-to-day circumstances of our lives. He alone loves you so much that he will speak to warn you of taking the wrong road, to correct you from error. The Lord loves you. He loves you and speaks to you. He loves you and speaks to you and makes himself known to you. Amazing grace, amazing love, amazing God. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks and praise today that you speak to us in words of correction and rebuke, but always in words of love. Open our ears that we may always hear what you speak to us. Transform our lives as we listen to what you say and obey what you say. Turn us from every wrong path that will lead to destruction into the way of the Lord, that we might walk there. Hear our prayers, for we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.